Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Praise God. We are considering matters that matter in leadership. We're looking at types of blindness a leader must avoid or be free from. Number one, total blindness. There are leaders who are totally and completely blind. They can't see anything. They don't see anything. I'm not talking about the literal blindness where your both physical eyes can't see. I'm talking about the ability to see beyond your physical eyes, the ability to see beyond the perimeter fence, the ability to see beyond where you are. God told Abraham, stand and look as far as your eyes can see. God was calling Abraham to make use of his mind's eye, to make use of the eye that is greater in capacity than the physical eyes that we bear. I'm sure that standing in Port Harcourt, you can begin to view things in Lagos, even when you are not in Lagos, with the eyes of your mind. Praise God. With the eyes of your imagination. And God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, as wide as your eyes can imagine and consider, I'm going to give it to you. So the ability for a leader to see is a very vital ability. Joseph told his brethren, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. He sent me here so that I can preserve you. He knew it ahead of time that, wow, this is why I'm here. That's ability to see. Number two kind of blindness a leader must avoid, eye disease. It is possible to have your both eyes working, and then later on, the eyes are diseased. So a leader must avoid eye disease. And we have various kinds of eye diseases, like long-sightedness. He cannot see the future. Long-sightedness is a disease that when it afflicts you, you cannot see anything that is far. Has a problem with seeing something from a distance. Another type of blindness a leader must avoid or be free from is wrong location against your seeing ability. I've said it oftentimes that God is everywhere, but God can't bless you everywhere. The blessings of God are geographical. The blessings of God are locational dependent. God will bless you somewhere. He told Abraham, come out of your father's house. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. Wrong location against your seeing ability. There are places you stand and you are not able to see clear. He said, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. There is a place you've got to be able to see what God is doing and what God is saying. Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible said, I will stand upon my watch and watch to see what the Lord will say. Write the vision and make it plain upon table, that whosoever readeth it may run with it. Though the vision may tarry, wait for it, it shall surely come to pass. I will stand upon my watch. So there are locations that will enhance your seeing ability. There are locations that will inhibit your seeing ability. There are locations that will make your seeing ability to be dull. There are locations that will make your seeing ability to be blurred. So you must have to stand in the right place. Some persons have the problem that I call Zacchaeus syndrome. Locational problem. From where they are, they can't see well. From where they are, maybe the kind of relationship they have, the kind of association they keep, the kind of friends they have around them, doesn't allow them to see. Because everybody around you don't see anything good about the whole thing. Praise God. I said, this business never succeeds. This business never works. So everybody that is your friend, everybody that is close to you, everybody that has your ears is saying the same thing. And so it will block your ability to see beyond that. Zacchaeus was short, even though he had eyes, but he couldn't see until he changed his location. Praise God. So if Zacchaeus had insisted, "I will be here, whether I see or not," he would not have seen Jesus. He changed his location and located a sycamore tree, and he could see Jesus. Praise God. When you can't see because of the location where you are, the danger is, as a leader, you begin to copy what others see. Praise God. You will likely begin to copy what others are seeing. In fact, you will see through the vision of others. Now somebody says, "Tomorrow there is going to be an accident in Nigeria," and then you come and say it as your own vision. Praise the Lord. You copy somebody's prayer point and make it your vision. You are seeing what others are seeing. You are not seeing on your own, by yourself, for yourself. That's the danger. Another danger is that you are likely going to give up. When you can no longer see, when you can see beyond your nose, you are likely going to give up too easily. "I don't think this thing will work. I don't think I will make it." You are just giving up. Praise the Lord. Number three danger is that you become unrealistic. Your visions will become unrealistic. You can tell somebody, "Well, I'm thinking that we will be able to buy this car next year, but in case we don't, no problem." Unrealistic visions. That will discourage the people and stress them out. Your vision becomes too vague. Your vision becomes too empty. Sometimes it becomes too big. Bigger than the people, bigger than their capacities, bigger than what they can think. You begin to have outlandish claims with no reality because they are outside their measure. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at when blindness happens to a leader. When blindness happens to a leader. If you notice any of the following things that I'm going to be talking about in your life, then there is an undiscovered degree of blindness in your life. Number one, when a leader settles only for the familiar and the routine. When a leader settles only for the familiar and the routine, the normal. You know, you just want to live the normal average life. No stress. I don't want anything that will stress me out. So if it is outside the familiar territory, you are not going to venture into it. When you begin to see yourself settle only for the familiar and the routine, "I don't want anybody to give me extra work, extra exercise, extra labor. No, let me just do what I can do." It's just settling only for the strength that he has developed now and nothing more. It's not trying out any new thing. It's not attempting any new adventure. He just wants to relax. He's a mediocre leader. Praise the Lord. There's a book written by Napoleon Hill, An Enemy Called Average. When you begin to settle for average life, "I'm okay with a C, no problem." Then in school there's this grade, E. They call it, "Let my people go." Praise God. And you know, some people pray for that kind of grade. "In fact, even if I have E all through this university, provided I don't have F, let me just graduate and go." You are settling only for the normal, for the usual, for the routine. You don't want any external labor. You don't want to exercise yourself a little more. You don't want to raise capacity. You are going to get lost. When a leader begins to settle only for the familiar and the normal, he's gradually becoming blind in his life, or blindness is gradually settling in his work. Number two, when a leader cannot see the front or cannot see very far, he cannot see what is in front of him. He cannot see 2 years from now. Now, if you are going to be a leader with impact, you must be a leader that thinks generationally. You think beyond the ability to eat 3 square meals today.
and begin to think of how you can eat 3 square meals and also be able to provide 3 square meals for others. A leader must think generationally. A leader must be able to see beyond today, beyond tomorrow, what becomes of us. Now, one of the strategies that Joseph mapped out in the land of Egypt was that in the days of plenty, let us store up goods. Store it up in such a manner that when famine begins to come, we will open our warehouses. And for 7 complete years of famine, that famine did not touch Egypt. It was as if everything was still normal. Praise God. Seeing beyond today. When you have a breakthrough of 200 million today, what comes into your mind? Is it how to drive all the beautiful cars? Live in big houses. In fact, have houses all over the cities and the nation and that all. But there are some persons that will begin to look. What can I do with this 100 million so that in 2 years' time it will be able to produce a double of this amount? That's a generational thinking. The Bible says a good father leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now that's a father who thinks generationally, who thinks beyond now, who thinks beyond giving his children the best of Mr. Biggs and the best of all to his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Number 3, when a leader begins to be blind, he sees only what everyone else sees. He sees only what everyone else sees. Until everyone has seen it, he can't see. So that kind of a leader only receives news when it has been announced. He doesn't receive it fresh. Nothing new comes to his mind. He sees only what everyone else sees. Now, that's not to say that a leader is not supposed to see what everyone else is seeing. But your position as a leader calls for ability to see what others have not seen yet and tell them this is the way we are going. Praise God. Oftentimes, victory in the battle, I'm talking about physical victory now, in the battle, is not only tied to the sophistication of the weapons or armory of the armies, but it's tied to the intelligence of the captain and the strategy mapped out for that victory. It is not the strongest nation that always wins in battle. It is not the armies or the soldiers that carry the most sophisticated weapons that always win, but it is the most strategic of them that wins in the battle. Praise God. The intelligence of the captain, who is directing us, who tells us where to go, who tells us where to go down, who tells us where to lay ambush and not. Now, these are very important. So when a leader only sees what others are seeing, he's missing out something. A leader must also be able to see what others are not seeing. Praise God. And said, there is a way by this Red Sea. And others are saying, Moses, what are you talking about? He said, don't worry, let's go, let's go. Can you imagine David when he showed up in the battlefront? Every trained soldier had taken cover. The moment the champion came out, Goliath, and began to rant, soldiers were running for their dear life. And then a little boy came out from the bush and entered and heard the man talking. He said, what will be given to the person who will kill this man? Now, even when Saul told him, this man has been a champion from his youth, and you can't fight him like this, David said, let no man's heart fail him. I will fight him. Now, that's a leader. If you enter a place without name tags and titles given to people, and you want to know the leader is the person that answers the question, where should we go and what should we do? Praise God. And that's why there are so many persons who are occupying the offices of leaders, but they don't carry the leadership life. So leadership goes beyond office and title. It has everything to do with a life. When blindness begins to set in the life of a leader, number 4, he fights anything new or unfamiliar. When you see a leader that is beginning to fight anything that is new, anything that is not familiar to him and with him, just know that blindness is gradually entering into that leader's life or work. Fighting anything that is unfamiliar. Somebody comes up and says, "Sir, why not we try this?" He said, "No." "Okay, let's do it the other way." He said, "No." Everything that is not aware of, everything he doesn't know, he doesn't want it. Praise God. He has settled for the things that he knows. So when you see a leader who fights the unfamiliar, blindness is gradually settling in his life. Number five, when blindness happens to a leader, he is afraid of the unknown. When blindness happens to a leader, he's afraid of the unknown. In Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14, God specifically called Moses and said, "Select leaders, 12, one per tribe, and send them to go and spy out the land that I have given to you." And so those 12 men that were selected were leaders in their respective tribe. Those 12 men were able and capable. That's why they were selected. But guess what? When they got there, they saw everything and they returned with a report that made the congregation cry. The Bible said the guys wept until there was no more strength inside of them to weep. Because they came back and told them. He said, "Moses, we have seen the land indeed is flowing with milk and honey." Now that's what their physical eyes could see. But he said, "But we also saw the sons of the Anaks and the giants." He said, "Before them, we are like grasshoppers." Praise God. Let us not go. And in fact, in that point, they decided they should choose another captain that would take them back to Egypt. Now, can you imagine what they went through to come out of Egypt? And they decided to go back to Egypt because of the fear of the unknown. I'm not sure of what this thing is going to bring. Have I not said that even serving God is a risk? But it is a worthy risk. Praise God. So when a leader is afraid of the unknown, he doesn't want to try it. I don't want to attempt it. Blindness is settling in. When blindness happens to a leader, number six, that leader never takes risk. When blindness happens to a leader, he never takes risks. Praise God. A prophet showed up in the life of Paul towards the end of his ministry. Prophet Agabus. And he gave a prophecy. He took up the mantle of Paul and said, "Who is the owner of this mantle? This is what is going to be done to him." And when it was true, should have thought that Paul would say, "I'm not stepping anywhere." And Paul said, "In fact, let's go to that place now. Let's go to Jerusalem." Praise the Lord. He's not afraid to take risks. No, we can do this thing. Sometimes when you are asked, "Let's give a seed to God," or "Let's do this for God." Now, the next question the devil brings your mind is, what if it doesn't work? What if you give this your last and nothing happens? And now, when you begin to analyze that question, you are likely going to quench your zeal. But when that question comes, also ask the devil, what if it works? Praise God. What if it works? Now, if you are able to analyze it that way, you'll be able to conquer that thought. Because what if it doesn't work? What if you give your last and nothing happens in 2 years? What if you give and God doesn't bless you? Also ask, what if I give and God bless me? What if I give and what the pastor says come to pass? Who will benefit them all? Praise the Lord. So, if blindness sets in, you'll be afraid to take risks. But if there is any person you must take risks for, it's for God and for the kingdom. Jesus said, "Any man that must come after me and follow me must hate his father, hate his mother, hate his brothers, hate his sisters, deny himself, carry up his cross on a daily basis and follow me." Why did he say so? He went out to call some guys, and this one said, "I just got married. Give me some time. Let me enjoy with my wife and then I will think it." This one said, "I just bought a land. Let me go and fence up the place and survey the place and secure it. And then I will consider following you." And Jesus looked at them and said, "These guys are very worldly. If any man is going to come to me, He must learn how to put the things of my kingdom in the forefront of his life. That's not to say that you should go and create war between you and your father because you have become a Christian. No, God says you must learn how to put every other thing behind you. Let them queue behind me. Praise God. So you must learn to take risks. That gentleman that came to Jesus and asked him, "Good master, what must I do to enter into the kingdom?" And Jesus told him, "You know the commandments. Go and keep them." And the man said, "I have been keeping the commandment right from my youth." Jesus saw him, loved him, and knew he was speaking the truth. And told him, "One thing is left of thee. Go and sell all that you have. Give the proceeds to the poor." You know, that was where the problem lied. If Jesus said, "Sell what you have, put the money in the bank, in case you will need it next year," at least that man would have considered it. But he said, "Sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and then come as empty and follow me." And the Bible says the man became sad. The same man that came with so much joy, so much zeal, became sad because he had so much wealth. And then when Jesus looked at that, he said, "How difficult it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And Peter said, "Well, if you are talking like that, then no man can be saved." That means Peter was also wealthy. Praise God. And Jesus said, "What I mean is that how difficult it will be for those who trust in their wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. It will be easier for a camel to pass through the eyes of a needle than for men who put their trust in their wealth to enter into the kingdom of God." And then Peter said, "What will happen to us? We've left houses. We've left our wives. We've left our businesses and families. I've been following you every day." Jesus said, "Everyone who has left house, land, wife, family to follow me here on earth, he will have 100%. So I disagree with the sermon that says our reward waits for us in heaven. It begins here on earth. Praise God. Amen. So let nobody tell you that all you need to do here is to be holy. Jesus himself said, "Everyone that have left something for me here on earth, he will have 100%. And then in the kingdom, you will have eternal life." In the kingdom, we don't need a limousine car. This is where you need it. So if you don't drive it here, you are not going to drive it there. We don't need to drive it there. Praise God. This is where you need it. And God will give you if you leave something for him. Praise the Lord. So when a leader is blind, the next thing that happens to him, number next, he becomes dependent on others and not on God. And this is very dangerous. He becomes dependent on others and not on God. His budget is tied to the economy of the people around him. If he is a pastor, he believes in the number of people that come to church. He believes that these are the people that will make me rich. So is Simon, the tune of his sermon, the tune of his message is going to change according to the faces of the people that appears. Praise God. He looks at the pocket of the people and plan the budget. He said, "You know, we are just 50 members. So let us plan to build, in fact, to buy a canopy and where we will stay." God told me very early in ministry, he said, "The people I give to you per time will do the work I put in your hand. So if I give you 50 and you need something of 500 million, that 50 will do it." Praise God. When a leader begins to be blind, he will only depend on the people and not on God. And you don't need to be in that position where you are depending on the people. Where you are looking at people's faces and you are trying very hard to impress them so that they will not leave church. Praise God. "Sister, I've just committed fornication," or "a brother, I've just committed a sin." I say, "Don't worry, all of us are the same." Praise God. Amen. Now, that's a pastor talking. He said, "Don't worry. Is it a sin? Don't worry, all of us are the same. We are human beings. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You are trying to impress him so that he won't leave church. Amen. We are not the same. Hello? Praise God. All of us are not the same. Tell him that when Jesus is returning, he's not returning for people like you, so you need to change. He's coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. He may not like you, but he will know that you always tell him the truth. That's it. Amen. Don't depend on people, depend on your God. When a leader is becoming blind, the people he is leading will become endangered. When a leader becomes blind, the people he is leading will become endangered. Everything is going wrong. Nobody's seeing. No sensitivity. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, while men slept, the enemy came in and sought us. The people that is under his coverage will be endangered. Something is going to go wrong. There is no sensing of it in the spirit. Everywhere is black. No information. Number next, he becomes very vulnerable. He becomes very vulnerable. When a leader is becoming blind, he becomes vulnerable. He's open up to everything. He's open up to familiar spirit. He's open up to the spirit of the world without first testing it. He becomes vulnerable. Every person that carries the collar and carries the Bible is a man of God, is a servant of God to him. Vulnerable. And you know, a lot of Christians are in that stage where because of your challenges have so blinded you that you don't know the difference between the truth and falsehood anymore. You just want to hear that it is happening here. And then you pack your Bible, you are running there. They said, there is this man of God who will call your name, call your father's name, call your grandmother's name, call your account number, and call your phone number. I said, that's the kind of person I'm looking for, provided they call my name. You don't care from which source your name is being called. You don't know that Satan also knows your name. Oh, you don't know that. Praise the Lord. When a leader is blind, or when blindness sets in into the life of a leader, he becomes vulnerable. Everything goes, anything goes. But you know, the Bible says, beloved, do not believe all the spirits, but test them to see whether they be of God. For so many false spirits have gone out into the world. So the responsibility of test is with us. The responsibility to test whether the thing is real or not is with us. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, discharging their kingdom work. And here comes a girl that was heavily possessed by a serpentine spirit. She started prophesying. These are the holy men of God that have come to show us the way of salvation. What an accurate prophecy. Praise God. Is it not what you are looking for, that your name was called without any mistake? Accuracy. These are the true men of God. Were they not true men of God? They were. They have come to show us the way of salvation. Is it not what they came for? Exactly the same. And the Bible says she continued like that on a daily basis. And Paul was troubled in his spirit, but he didn't want to spoil another man's business. Praise God. And said, let me keep doing what I'm doing. But if this guy continues to interfere in my spiritual activities around this place, then I'm going to speak out. Then one day, he shut her up and said, thou spirit, come out of her. And all those prophecies ended. Who knows how many members that girl had in our church? Praise God. Who knows how many pastors we are going to receive counseling from her? As a woman of God. On Sunday we had 16 members. The other Sunday we had 23. The upper Sunday we had 5. What is the matter? And she will say, man of God, this is what God is saying. Praise God. But she was operating under a familiar spirit. It needed somebody who had eyes to see. So when you are blind, you become vulnerable. You open yourself up to anything. You open yourself up to every spiritual thing. The Bible says there are many voices in the realm of the spirit. And so it is our responsibility to begin to know the kind of voice that is speaking. There are many voices. And I've illustrated it before, that the realm of the spirit is just like what we have in the electromagnetic wave. That if you bring your car radio or your radio now and open it up, you are likely going to catch from different frequencies. If you catch 94.1, it's going to be Wazobia. If you count 92.3, it's going to be a Nigeria Info. Praise God. If you catch 93.7, it's going to be Redeem FM. Now, all in the same air. So you decide to tune to the frequency that you want. That's what happened in the realm of the spirit. There is a frequency that you will get to God, and there's a frequency that you get to familiar spirit. Praise God. So it is your responsibility to tune and get yourself tuned to the point that you are sure that what you are getting is divine frequency. What you are getting is God's voice. That you don't get to the point that Isaac got to. He said the voice is Jacob's voice, but the body is Esau's body. When a leader gets to that point, everything will begin to go wrong. Where you begin to hear the voice of Jacob, but you are feeling the hand of Esau, you get confused. All of that was possible because Isaac's eyes were dimmed. He couldn't see anymore. Oh, it took an opening of the eye for Jacob to see angels that were ascending and descending. And he held one of them and his destiny changed. Let your eyes be opened so that you will know when an angel sits before you. Let your eyes be opened so that you will see when the Lord is moving and what next God wants to do. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Every attempt by the enemy to shut your eyes so that you can no longer see. I command it to disappear now. In the name of Jesus. You will not be blind leaders of the blind. All of you will be seeing leaders. And you will be leading the seen. In Jesus' most mighty name.